So our topic tonight is the Holy Spirit, our helper. It's a study on the Holy Spirit. And of course, he's part of the Trinity, right?
Yes.
It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Everyone say the three in one.
The three in one.
So when Jesus walked the earth, he walked the earth for 33 years, but his public ministry was just 3.5 years. And his disciples, they had a front row seat to his teachings, to his miracles, and to all of the healings and the signs and wonders that took place.
Yep.
At the time, as the time of his resurrection and his death and his resurrection was drawing near, he knew that he needed to prepare them. And, you know, take time during the course of this study to read the book of John, especially John chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. Because you see, these all occurred in the same setting in the upper room. Awesome. And so we want to encourage you to read that. And so Jesus knew that his last hours with his disciples was coming to a close. And so he washed their feet. He served them communion. He told them about a place that he was going to prepare for them. I love that, don't you?
Yes, yes.
And one of the most significant things that the Master said, and he addressed this over and over and over again, he said, I'm leaving you. He said, I'm going. I'm going to prepare a place for you. But you see, they heard with ears of distress. What they were hearing was upsetting to them.
Yeah.
Why? Because they had become so dependent on the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus then is bringing them encouragement when he begins to talk to them about sending the Holy Spirit.
And so we want to pick up this account again. This was all in one setting where Jesus was talking to them. We know the Bible's not written in chapter and verse, right? So here in John chapter 14, in verse 16, this is what he began to talk to them about the Holy Spirit. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I recently heard someone teaching on this, and they pointed out that the word another, in the Bible, it's mentioned in two different words, and one of them means another of a completely different kind. But that's not the word that Jesus used in this passage. The word he used is A-L-L-O-S, and I'm not going to try to say it, but it means another of the same kind, not another of a different kind. Just as Jesus shows the nature of God the Father, so the Holy Spirit was being another of the same kind, was here to show the nature of Jesus.
Amen.
So what Jesus was literally saying to them and bringing them encouragement with was that he is saying, I'm leaving, but I will send one that's like me in every way.
Oh, yeah.
He will do in my absence what I would do if I were physically still present with you. That's good news. I don't know if they'd grasp it yet, but that's good news. And so he wanted to reiterate that. So he used that same phrase 2 more times in this setting as he was interacting with his disciples. He's emphasizing again that the Holy Spirit would bring them comfort in his physical absence. So again, in John chapter 14, but now and down in verse 26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and he will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
Wow.
They were used to Jesus being their teacher, but now the Holy Spirit would continue to teach them, and he would also bring to their remembrance the things Jesus had taught them when he walked with them. And then again, in John chapter 15, verse 26, he says it again. But when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me.
Yeah.
So he's going to be a witness of me. He's going to say the same thing that I have been saying unto you. What an amazing gift this coming Holy Spirit was to them and is to us. So we want to take a few moments and examine the word comforter. We already talked about another, but what does this word comforter mean? Well, in the Greek, again, we always call it paraclete. I know that's not probably the right pronunciation, but it is defined in the Greek as meaning one called alongside to help.
Yeah, he's our helper.
Amen.
He is our heavenly helper. And I like what you read about how that he will bring all things.
Yes.
To your remembrance.
Yes.
And he'll do that today for us as well.
Yes, amen.
Not just the disciples.
Right.
So how important is it for us to read the Word?
Yes, amen.
And to become familiar with the Gospels.
That's right. That's
and become familiar with the epistles, the Pauline epistles. And then he will bring these scriptures to your remembrance.
Yes, amen.
He is our helper.
Amen.
So what does a helper mean? Helper defined means to give aid or assistance. To progress, to further the progress or advancement of.
Yeah.
It also means to serve, and it also means one employed to help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many of you know sometimes good help is hard to find? I think that's probably one of the things we learned in the last 5 years. Good help is extremely hard to find, and I know some of our business owners are saying, amen, that's the truth. And there's a various amount of reasons why that is true, and we don't want to, you know, go into that tonight. But how many of you know, even good employees sometimes can mess up from time to time. Anybody ever messed up? I've messed up just a few times.
No, raise both hands.
well, you get your hands up,
I
too.
Do.
Well, one of the wonderful things about the Holy Spirit is he can turn our mess into a message, right?
Yeah, thank God.
Or our test into a testimony. That's
just
how good he is.
That's wonderful. Amen.
Our failures, our shortcomings do not move him.
Amen.
So don't be so hard on yourself.
That's right.
So the Holy Ghost then, Holy Spirit, has been sent from heaven to surround us with aid and assistance.
Amen.
Think about that. How many of you have ever needed some aid?
Yeah.
You know, you just were in a situation and you just weren't sure what to do or what course of action to take.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can rejoice in what the scripture says in the book of Psalms in 46:1. It says, God is our refuge and our strength. Let's go ahead and read that together if we could. Read it. Ready, read. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Amen.
And he's present by the presence of the Holy Spirit.
That's exactly right. I was just thinking about that. We must be one.
I'm called to aid and assist you.
That's right. So he is present. He is present with his presence. Amen?
Amen.
So through the power of the Holy Spirit, help comes.
Amen.
The comforter also means this, to minister exhortation. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Consolation.
Yeah.
And how about this? Encouragement.
Amen.
Amen. You know, there's a vital truth that we all embrace here in this church. We are to encourage ourselves in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that we're able to do that is by the encouragement the Holy Spirit brings to us.
Yeah.
So that we can do that. Amen?
Amen.
So if you've ever needed encouragement or consolation or comfort, I think we all have. Yeah. And it's wonderful to Amen. Draw on him and to be aware of his presence and to mm-hmm. commune with him and to acknowledge him. Amen. And not to ignore him. He is our holy guest and we are temples of the very Holy Ghost.
Amen. And oftentimes when we say comfort, of course, we think of the loss of a loved one. And I think probably everyone in this room has experienced that to some degree, whether it's a parent or, you know, a relative, a child. But thank God for the comforter and the comfort of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it, and I've shared this before, but I know we have a few new people here, but from my own personal experience, my precious, wonderful, godly mother, she went to heaven when she was 51, and I was 21. And that was a devastating thing. My two older sisters, they were married, they had their families, and I know that it was still awful for them. But, you know, I wasn't married, hadn't met my wonderful husband yet, and I remember feeling so alone and just like, what am I going to do without my mother here to give me guidance and to encourage me and to love me? And I was laying on my bed and I was crying out to God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, he came and I felt his presence so strong.
Wow.
But he also brought a word of encouragement and consolation to me. And that word was this: when you miss your mom, you just go ahead and come into my presence. Just ascend up to the throne room and you'll be right where she is. And
Beautiful.
That so ministered to me, and I began to worship him. And it was like, as I worshiped him, I looked over to my side and I could see my sweet little mom standing there with her hands raised and doing the exact same thing
Wow.
that I was doing. Thank God for the comfort and the encouragement that the Holy Spirit will bring. And there's other things that we suffer loss in and need his comfort. Sometimes a broken relationship,
a job, a loss
of a job, loss of financial security. And we can get this feeling of sorrow and grief. But the Holy Spirit, if we'll lean into him, he will bring us that encouraging word. He'll bring us that comfort that we so need. And there's another word even that another explanation of comfort that we recently heard by a Greek scholar, Dr. Rick Renner. Some of you may know who he is, but it's really was enlightening to me. And he was talking about, at the time Jesus was speaking with his disciples and telling them, I'm going to send you another comforter, that there was also another meaning to comforter that we may not be familiar with. And at the time of this writing, he said this word comforter, parakletos, of course in English it's comforter, but in the Greek, parakletos, or however you say it, was also used to describe a coach.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, the disciples, they were familiar with that because they knew about sports games. And so what does a coach do? Well, let's ask our expert over here.
Yes.
The sports authority.
Well.
The guy who was great and is still great. What about sports?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. I'm not going to say this T-shirt I saw years ago that said, the older I get, on the back it says, the better I am, better I was.
Yeah.
The older I get, the better I was regarding playing sports, but no.
So what does a coach do? Well, a sports coach, a basketball coach, well, he doesn't play the game for us.
No,
but he tells us how to dribble, tells us how to shoot. I can remember, you know, playing basketball in high school, and a year in college, they absolutely just did drill after drill after drill. I remember we're getting ready for the state tournament. In those days, the Catholic had their tournament, the public schools had their tournament, and we were kind of small, so we were small on the court, but they just drilled us and drilled us in fast break after fast break. And then, you know, when we thought practice was ended, they'd drill us on shooting free throws. So they would show us how to do these things and coach us and encourage us, but they wouldn't do that for us, okay? So it's the same thing like with a drama coach. The drama coach doesn't act for you, right?
No.
But shows you exactly what to do. And that is what the Holy Spirit will do for you. We could say it this way. He's our life coach.
Amen.
Say it with me real strong. He's my life coach.
He's my life coach.
So what does he do? He comes alongside of us in every aspect of life to guide us, to impart wisdom to us.
Amen.
So Jesus had been the disciples' coach. He taught them how to live godly lives. He shared the principles of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
He prepared them and he equipped them for the journey and the path that was ahead for them.
Yes.
And now he's assuring them the one who he is sending will operate the same way, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And in John 16 and verse 7, we're going to look at this verse and we're going to all read it from the Amplified as we get ready to close. In John 16, 7, Amplified, ready, read. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth
when I say
it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, and standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you.
Amen.
I mean, you could preach all night long about a counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, and standby. Glory to God.
Amen.
And so he says, it's profitable, it's good, it's expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Well, he hasn't changed. Amen. How profitable is it for us to have him living on the inside of us?
Amen.
See, Jesus had been physically with them, limited by body, and he could only be in one place at one time.
Yeah.
But not only the Holy Spirit will be with them, but live in them.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is able to live and be with every believer at the same time.
Amen.
Say with me, what a promise.
What a promise.
What a plan.
What a plan.
What a helper.
What a helper.
So this is just our introduction into the teaching along the lines of the Holy Spirit. We'll go into more in depth in the next few weeks.